The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 183. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Damn, Chris ain't here. I almost fucked that up. Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Adam Vale.
What's up, Sucker Free Sunday?
And Brian Monjoma.
Howdy, y'all.
All right, quick apologies to the people who think this is Throwdown episode 183. I always miss that fucking bullshit. But anyway, we don't really have any fluff tonight, man. I think
at least you didn't leave it at the Riku-san's stream.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why we're getting a warning on Twitch. That's interesting. Anyway, no fluff again.
What kind
of
warning? Wait, what do you mean?
It says warning with a... I don't know what the fuck that
means.
We
just started. What could we be getting tagged on?
Bit rate is too high. Okay, I could lower the bit rate, but fuck you right now. We're streaming. All right, again, no Chris action, but Kristen is with us, making sure you motherfuckers behave in the chat room. You know?
Thanks a lot, Kristen, for coming in and keeping an eye on the...
On the chat there. No fluff tonight, man. So we're going to get right into it. My man Mebs. So his first question, actually both of his questions about God of War. So the first one is, it's safe to assume that we'll get a sequel to God of War. Given that it has taken Sony Santa Monica 5 years to reinvent the God of War formula, how long do you anticipate it will take the sequel to be made? Just for information, God of War 3 and God of War Ascension were 3 years apart. I'm going to guess probably 3 years, because think about it, a good chunk of that time for the God of War that just came out was just creating the engine, you know?
Yep, the engine and the assets.
Exactly. So all that's already made. So I'm going to say probably 2 to 3 years, probably 3 years. If they really want to put carrot and attention to it, probably 3 years, you know?
I'm going to say 2 years, just because developers these days have a tendency to want to make an annual game. The timeline has essentially been shortened, not because that's what makes a better game, but because people want to see returns on these investments. And with the game engine already built like this, they would probably be tempted to try and make it an annual game, but realize that they don't want to do that. So I think a biannual game isn't out of the question.
Hey, Brett, where's Dragon Age or Dragon Age Inquisition 2?
Oh no, that shit is different.
BioWare
has no fucking rhyme or reason, and they've never even tried to release annual games.
Yeah, but two years sounds okay, but I'm gonna go with three.
Was that the closest between the God of War games was 3 years? Am I just remembering it?
No, it was always 2 years with the PlayStation games. Correct me if I'm wrong, people. PlayStation God of War 1 and 2 came out 2 years apart. 3 took a little while. Obviously, there was a pretty big gap there because of the PlayStation 3, and then the two PlayStation 3 games were 3 years apart. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with 3 years. I'm gonna stick with 3 years. Manny, what do you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't say two. I would say three, maybe four.
All right, Carlos. Really?
3 years.
All right.
I think, I don't know. They don't really have to rush anything. Plus, you never know. They might just release a new God of War game for the PS5.
They could wait.
Carlos.
And I don't see this being like a launch day game. So they might even delay it more. So who knows?
Yeah. Brian.
Yep, I'll go with like 3 years. But it makes sense.
Yeah, and Adam.
Next year.
Next
year. Fuck it, why not? This is like The Price is Right. $1.
I was gonna say you're the guy on The Price is Right, that motherfucker.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it. $1.
All right, cool, man. Okay, so next question is a very interesting one too. How pivotal was the character of Kratos to the success of this new God of War? Would the game have been the success it was if it wasn't a continuation of a story? Could the series go on without him? I'm thinking how people were not happy that Master Chief was not the chief character in the last Halo game and how the Halo community were not happy about that. Yeah, I think the fact that Kratos is in it was a big deal for people. You know, if he wasn't in it, I think people would have been mad. Let's just be real, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have been able to play God
of
War.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have minded if they changed the character, but I understand people have a certain attachment to, like, the main characters of games and stuff. So I think he was pretty integral to it, you know?
I would have been mad. Because if you would just replace Kratos with somebody else, then I would have just said call it a different game. But you're continuing the God of War. Yeah, that's
what I thought he was starting to say in the question. What was this game successful just because it was labeled as God of War, or would have been successful if it didn't have that label as God of War?
No, he's asking if Kratos was in it, would the game be successful?
Then they couldn't have called it God of War.
They could have.
You have to have some lead in. They have to do something explaining it. Like
they can call it whatever the hell they want.
You can still call it God of War.
They didn't think. Number one, the thing is that we're talking about video game companies. If it even has any sort of remote resemblance to the original game, they could put God of War on any type of game.
But look what happened with the Ascension. That had God of War, and that didn't sell.
It had God of War, but it was not a very good game.
Had God of War and Kratos, you know.
It had God of War and Kratos. The thing is that game in general, there were two problems with it. The main problem is that they put a cheesy little campaign inside of it, and they did it for a multiplayer thing that nobody fucking cared for.
Yeah, and the story itself didn't. The whole game didn't need to exist. None of that needed to exist. You know?
It was not really anything that needed to happen. The only reason why they probably did it is maybe because the God of War, the new God of War games developments had already started.
Could be.
I think it just smelled
It just smelled too much like a cash grab. I think that's why people didn't like it.
It definitely smelled like a cash grab. So,
well, back onto the current one. If they had not put Kratos in it and called it God of War, then it pretty much would have been a firm reboot. Or at least it would have been viewed like that. Like, okay, so the people who made the regular God of War games are making a new game about a new God of War in a new place and a new mythology. That's how it would have been viewed. It wouldn't even been a continuation of the saga. And no. I don't think it would have been as successful.
Kind of like how Devil May Cry doesn't have the same Dante.
Yeah. It would have just been like
God of War now.
Yeah.
I think you guys are overrating protagonists in video games. Because, I mean, God of War Ascension didn't do well because it was a crappy game. Halo 6 or Halo 5 didn't do as well because it's not a game that lives up to the franchise. It's not because Master Chief's not in it. It's because it's not as good as any of the other Halos, quite frankly.
I'm not even talking on quality. I'm speaking percent. Like, I'm just saying it would have been received as a full reboot. And I don't think a full reboot would have done as well as an evolution of the saga. There is a bit of nostalgia that plays the part in this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying it has to continue to have Kratos, but you have to have at least, you have to show the torch passing. Like, you can't just, you know, have them be two separate stories. You want to lead them into each other for a better narrative. That's all I'm saying. So I fully actually expect, personally, I'm subscribing to Adam's theory just in a more long-term kind of thing. So I think Kratos is going to be replaced eventually. I think we'll see the end of this probably trilogy of games without Kratos. But that'll be okay because Kratos was there at the beginning and it'll all be sewn into the story.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right.
It's remember Metal Gear? It's not the same guy, right? He's dead. What's his name?
Big Boss?
Big Boss.
Well, he still looks like Snake.
Exactly, but it's not him.
And the Big Boss games take place in the past, too, you know?
And the Big Boss games are prequel games. They haven't made a modern Metal Gear game since Metal Gear Solid 4, yeah.
Wait, so does this all take place before the Nintendo version?
Yes.
Holy dookie.
Yep. The last two games. The last game, in fact, there's a lead-in to the Nintendo game.
Yeah,
The last one.
That is correct.
I did not know that. They need to write a book about this. Yeah. The lore.
God of War,
people have, but you know the one thing. For those games, I call those the borrowed time Metal Gear games. It's like, okay, we already ended the series, so here's some extra bits of information just in case you didn't need,
But you still get Snake.
Snake because he's a clone of this guy, so you're essentially still playing somewhat of the same character.
Yeah. Anyway, Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
I don't think it would have sold as well if it was not him, honestly. Because I think that, like, at this point in time, like, his name carries weight because, again, he's just is Kratos. And, yeah, that's as far as I've gotten.
Yeah, I think we reached a consensus there, pretty much. All right, so we'll move on to the next question. Mr. Damian. All right, so, again, I always have to preface this. Let me finish the entire question first.
Does it begin with this panel?
It doesn't begin with that, but that is in there. That phrase is in there.
All right.
All right. Again, let me finish this. I will go back and break down all of this. Okay. My Xbox is my preferred console, which makes it a success to me. I play Sony exclusives on my PS4 Pro, so it is a success to me. I play my Nintendo exclusives on the Switch, which makes it a success to me. Over the past 2 weeks, this podcast has made numbers a major topic and has made claims as to what is a success and what is a failure. My question is, why do numbers matter to you so much? No matter what you think the numbers are, Microsoft is making money in the gaming division. Based on movements within the company, shows they plan to be in gaming for a long time to come.
Numbers matter to shareholders and stockholders. No one wants to be second best.
All right. Here's the thing. Before we move on, let's just establish what is a success. Success is not a subjective thing. It's objective. How do you base success? How much money you make. That's clear cut.
How much money you make, how much of the market share you control.
Yes.
If there's only $20, you know, floating around your small, you know, industrial town or whatever, and you've got 18 of it, you may only have $18, but you control a vast majority of the wealth that's being distributed. So market share also has a lot to do with it. And also, I liked my Dreamcast quite a bit. I thought it was a success. They stopped making it. So can't base it just on what you like and what you don't.
Not to sound like an asshole, I'm just being honest right now. You cannot personally dictate what is an ascent of success, dude. Like, yeah, we love the Dreamcast. I guess you could say it was a success to us, you know, personally as gamers, but it was a failure. It was an objective failure, you know?
Even to us, it was a failure because we couldn't use it past, like, 3 years after it was released.
Yeah, no. So basically the point is, just because you think something is a success doesn't make it a success, because if it failed, it failed, and that's it. You know,
all can help it be a success by voting with your wallet. If you really love a game and feel like you got more than your money's worth out of it, like, buy a copy for a friend, buy some merch for it, send some love the developer's way. Like, you can help balance the scales by, you know, being an evangelist for games that you like and things that you think are done well. That's fine, and that can help tip the scales. But whether or not you like it alone doesn't help. Some games require, you know, community and word of mouth to get their sales. If you love a game so much, stream it. Help generate interest in it. That's going to help more than just liking the game a lot.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, and that's the thing. This is why numbers ultimately matter, because if, let's say, an Xbox. If an Xbox sells really well, you know they're going to make another one, right? If a game sells really well, you know they're going to make another one. If the game doesn't do very well, they're probably not going to make another one. This is why numbers matter. And then going back to your things, like, why do numbers matter to us? Dude, we're gamers. We like all aspects of the industry. We find all of this fascinating. And also, we're a podcast that talks about the biggest gaming topics. You think we're just going to avoid this? Come on, man. My question is, and, you know, again, I'm just going to say it. Would you be upset if this was Sony we're talking about in this way? They were tanking. Would you be that upset about it? I just had to throw that out there. But the point is, numbers matter and success is not subjective. You know?
Well, not only that, Damian, are you upset that Microsoft keeps releasing engagement numbers? Like, why do we care? You know? Like, isn't that the same argument? Like, they're obviously tiptoeing around releasing these numbers because everyone else does. So when a certain company doesn't do what the other ones do, we were like, why are you doing this? And they keep releasing engagement numbers, and we're like, okay, that's fine. You can release engagement numbers, but where are the console numbers? Everyone else is releasing them. What are you scared of? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I know the perfect analogy for this. It's like saying somebody has a fever. But a fever doesn't matter, because a fever is just a temperature number and numbers don't matter. Unless it gets high enough to cause brain damage, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, in a way that's true, but a fever can be indicative of a multitude of underlying things, all of which could get worse if they're not addressed. And it can also, if you have a fever of 102, it may not be a big deal, it's just a number, but you know that you're probably sick, you know you're probably contagious, and you shouldn't go into work. That number is going to not only give an insight into your well-being, but also the actions that you're going to take moving forward. These numbers are kind of the same thing. They're what actually help us predict as a show, because you guys like us talking about this, but fuck it, I'd even talk about this shit with my friends. Like, it helps you predict what companies are going to do and what moves they're going to make. Knowing that Microsoft controls roughly a third of the market share, if that, helps us better understand what their next move is going to be, because you can be pretty damn sure that even though they're making money and they're a success, they want more money. That is the name of the game. And so they're going to make a bid to try and make more money and address this problem they have. And we're trying to figure out how, both because we're gamers and because we're on a podcast.
Yeah, that's great. I love the fever analogy. That's perfect, you know. And when Microsoft is like, okay, why aren't they telling us what the numbers are? That lets you know something is going on there, you know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I think with any sort of situation, whenever the company is not doing great, they don't want anybody to start losing faith in the actual thing. So they'll, you know, keep certain information back and they'll concentrate on the things that are positive, you know, like how many people are engaged on Xbox Live, stuff like that. Because also, let's also say that, you know, Xbox Live is one of the highest money makers part of their system. So, mm-hmm. That's why they're going to concentrate. Sony's done the same thing, and so has Nintendo. They've all done the same thing where they've kept their numbers back. When is the last time Nintendo ever went out and said, "Hey, we only sold blah 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 Wii U's"?
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
They were totally chest thumping when the Wii was out, saying how many they sold for that thing.
And they're currently chest thumping now.
When Sony first was doing really shitty in the beginning, what were they concentrating on? They weren't concentrating on the numbers. They were telling you how many PlayStation 2s they were selling.
Yeah, and that right there was a red flag. It's like, okay, why are you telling us about PS2?
It obviously is a red flag, and you know why they're doing those sorts of
things. And just quickly, hold on, I need to bring this up, because remember when Chris broke down all the financials, you know, because he did it for all of Microsoft. Microsoft, they flat out told you, hey, our Surface shit is not fucking selling. We lost money on this. But yet, in the same report, the same next paragraph, they do not tell you about Xbox sales. Isn't that interesting? They'll flat out tell you, hey, this product that we made isn't selling. It has underperformed. Yet they don't tell you about Xbox. So it's things like this that make us question stuff. That's just human nature, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does seem odd, but you know why they're doing it.
Oh, my man, Chris is in the chat. Hold on. I got to read what he says. Damien is not accounting for our ROI. I read the financials on the show 2 weeks ago. I got accurate numbers for Surface, which has a tremendous loss this year. Yet Xbox has no concrete numbers. Exactly. Okay, Manny, go ahead.
So, yeah, to go back to yes, you enjoy your Xbox. That is what you're supposed to do. And the thing is that, like, I come from two I've had two consoles essentially just belly up on me. I want to talk about the 3DO, and I want to talk about the Sega Dreamcast. Actually, no, three, and the 32X. So, I mean, as much as I wanted these things to stick around, you know, it just wasn't happening. Yeah, and exactly. That is the worst thing to happen right in front of your eyes. Just have it fall apart. So it's good to, you know, the thing is, again, competition is key to this sort of industry. And it's probably the worst thing ever to see something like a console kind of fall apart. Even though I do not specifically own an Xbox 360, Xbox One or Xbox One X, I still do not want to see them get out of the game industry or stop doing what they're doing, because that just means it'll just be a two dog pony game or even a one dog pony game.
Yeah, and we don't want that, you know.
And we don't want that sort of stuff, because, like, you know, if you want, you know, Brett has said it many times, like, as successful as the PlayStation 2 generation was, there was a point in time where they were the only, they were the only town. And there was a lot of bullshit that was made for that thing that people forget.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I want to move on to the next one, unless somebody else wants to say something real quick.
Unless I'm, I don't know if I heard it, but did you give shout out to Technofabulous?
Oh, I'm about to do that right now, man. Shout out to Technofabulous for the super chat, brother.
Thanks for the super chat.
Chris, and I will be reading Chris's comments because obviously he can't speak, but my man can still type. You know, Xbox hardware sales are falling. Only thing still generating Xbox revenue is live subscriptions. That's why they keep talking about it. Anyway, Brett, close us out, Ben.
Two things. First of all, they're really pushing down on games as a service. So that's one of the ways they're looking at it. And that's one of the ways that they're showcasing it because A, it looks better, and B, if they're going to continue down this road as games of a service, those numbers do kind of matter. But as for why they're not saying it, like, it, you guys, I think a lot of you are overreading it. So, like, let me just put it this way. You walk out with two friends, right? And they're like, one of the friends goes, oh, dude, I just got my paycheck in. I got my fucking bonus. I got like $1,200 in my pocket. Let's go get some steak and some fucking whiskey. You down for steak and whiskey? And you have another friend who checks his back pocket and goes, yeah, I can do steak and whiskey. I think I can cover that. Like, you know which of those motherfuckers is rolling with a clutch and which of those motherfuckers is not rolling with a clutch. Like, it's an immediate and apparent thing. Like, dude, that guy's got a shitload of money and that guy is trying to figure out whether he can afford dinner. That's exactly what's going on. And that's what's going on with Microsoft. Like, you don't broadcast your shortcomings, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Microsoft is dead or doomed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that they've lost this battle.
Yes.
And that's the thing a lot of people aren't understanding is we're not talking about the war. We're talking about this battle. So it's not the end of the fucking world that Microsoft may pivot, change their strategy, and come back hard next generation. But for this generation, it's kind of done. And
it's over. It's over.
That says nothing for you as somebody who enjoys it. That says nothing for your business decisions or your purchasing choices or anything like that. It just means that something you like didn't quite hit this time. I've been there myself. But them's the breaks.
For me, man, I have two Xbox Ones, and I care about those numbers because I want to see if they're doing well and if they're going to invest in their own platform. Because if numbers aren't, if we know that numbers aren't well, then how do we how do we know we should expect them to invest back into the platform that we invested on? You know,
great point.
We're not shareholders or stockholders. We're stakeholders. All of us who own a property of Xbox are stakeholders to that platform. So we care about all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, man, I got my box. Okay. You know, I want to play some games too, on them. Yeah,
I got one. That.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Xbox.
Hold on.
How many people here own?
Hold on, Brett. Are you telling me that the Sony down owns, like, how many Xboxes between us? Adam, how many did you say you have? Two?
For the new one? Two. For the old one? Four?
Well, I'm talking about just Xbox One. Let's just keep it to that.
Two.
Two Xbox. Two. The launch Carlos one, has the, two.
And I have the S.
Damn. Hold on a second. We got two for Adam, two for Carlos, one for Brett, one for me, and one for Chris. That's a lot of Xboxes here.
Yeah, man. I'm the only holdout.
Oh, and Brian too. Brian has one.
Brian has an Xbox. It's called a PC.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Oh God, hey, my man Sean, thank you for the super chat, man. You guys keeping us going.
Wait. He does. We actually all have Xboxes because we all run DirectX, right?
Oh, well, shit.
If you listen to Major Nelson, the way he would say it, he would count the PC as an extension of the Xbox.
So everybody has an Xbox here, then.
So yeah,
every you last one of us.
You get an Xbox, and you get an Xbox.
You know, hey, Dashy did that one time. You know,
yeah, she did. She was into that Kinect virus.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Xbox did that for 360. They had the slim version under everybody's seat at E3 one year. I remember hip hop was pissed because he wasn't invited to that one.
I wish I would have been there.
Were you there for when Sony came out and did the Plus announced a Plus service and they gave everybody a full year was there?
Like, I wasn't there for that. Wish that would be nice.
PlayStation Plus? No, we weren't there for that one. We started going to E3 in 2013. Oh yeah,
2013. Yeah, exactly. All right, man, let's move on. Another question from Damien. I like this one. This is a very interesting one. Okay, do you think the first video game you ever played has influenced your current gaming choices? For example, the very first game I ever played was Contra on the NES, so I prefer to play co-op shooters or games with other people over single-player games. I really like this question, and I want Brett to start first.
I got distracted. Can you read that again?
You motherfucker, what? Man. I'm not reading all that shit again.
Something about playing hockey in all right. the summer. I'm like,
yeah, go ahead. Somebody else jump in and Brett will get the gist of it. Okay, nobody wants to go. I guess I'll go first.
Whoa. You cut out on my side, so.
Yeah, you cut out.
Did I cut out? Do I have to repeat all that shit again?
No. You just said simplify. Like.
Simplify. What was it?
Basically, did the first game you ever play influence the type of games you currently like playing?
Definitely. I mean, Metal Gear. What
was that your first game?
That wasn't my first game.
No, it's got to be your very first game. The Papa and the Cherry game.
You can think about yours. Mine's is easy.
I already know mine.
My first game. Here's the weird thing. Like, all of my gaming came directly from you, Adam. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you. Infected me with this virus.
I'm doing it to my daughter right now. She's all about Mario Kart and stuff.
So when I first played, like the first home console that I ever played was at your place, was on an Atari, and then
Atari.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't. I feel like maybe the Nintendo generation had an effect over my some of my gaming thing, but not all the way.
So you can't remember the very first title you ever played.
I can't remember the first title that I picked because again, like when fucking Adam had every fucking thing. So like I go to his place and then be like, oh, I have this. Also, here, just a little side note: when Adam got the Nintendo, he gave me his Atari, and I'm like, yay, Atari! And then I saw that Nintendo, I was like, fuck.
Shit, but I also remember. I always that you probably remember this. It was hold on, I just dropped some. It was a. Oh, fuck, I broke this. It was a Friday. I remember coming home from school, and then I got a call from you. I was like, hey, what's up? And remember, your mom was working the weekends or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's up? He's like, oh, I got a 3DS, a 3DO. I was a 3DO. He's like, yeah, I'm playing Way of the Warrior. And I remember hanging up, packing a bag, and I went over to your place. I was like, I have to play this. I had Wipe Zombie in it and stuff.
Yeah, because of your neighbor had a 3DO. That's where I played it.
Yes, across the street, the kid across the street, he was like, oh, because his uncle lived in the basement, had the basement apartment. It's like, yeah, my uncle got this new system, and it's got like this motorcycle game, Road Rash and stuff. I was like, all right. So we went over there, and he had one of those 60-inch projection TVs when those were the thing. And I was freaking blown away. I was like, this has Soundgarden and all this legit music. It looked real.
Road Rash, yeah.
What? Yeah. And then poof, you got it. And I
tell you one thing, we got it for a deal because they were already dropping the price of the 3DO at that point in time. So we got it for half the price. So it came out to like $300 at that, the original one.
Let's get back, totally went off the rails. I was about to say that. Like, all right, anyway, I'm going to read what Chris says. He goes, I don't really remember what my first game was. It was either Pac-Man or boxing on Atari. It wasn't until the NES where I was like, these games have themes and, you know, I can experience Castlevania, Metroid, Blaster Master all influenced me way more than 2600 games. Very interesting. I'll jump in. The first game I ever played, I clearly remember because I didn't know what a fucking video game was until I played this because we didn't have them back in Dominican Republic. Golden Axe in the arcade. Like, I saw that cabinet. It was at my dad's friend's bodega. They had this cabinet. I'm like, what is that? I saw like a little screen with these little characters. I'm like, what is that? He's like, yeah, go play it. I'm like, what do you mean play it? What the fuck are you talking about? So he's like, here's
TV.
I was like, here's a couple of quarters. You just toss them in there and you play. I'm like, okay. So I toss in the quarter and it was weird. It's like I instantly understood what was this moves the character that does attacks. That was a side-scrolling beat 'em up game, kind of hack and slash. Those aren't really my type of games. I love those games. You put any side-scrolling old-school arcade game in front of me, I will play the fuck out of it. But that didn't really influence the type of gamer I would become. I don't think I really started becoming the gamer I became until, like, you know, the Sega Saturn era, specifically with Tomb Raider, right? I'm like, oh shit, this is like a vast world you could explore. This is crazy. And then with Panzer Dragoon Saga, it's like this giant, massive story. And then Shenmue, of course, I really sell it from like, okay, I like narrative-driven games. This is the shit I like, you know? So, but yeah, Golden Axe did not affect me as a game. It affected me as a gamer, but it didn't influence the type of games. Like, if that was the case, I'd still be playing beat-em-ups now. But then again, they don't make beat-em-up games, so I guess that's irrelevant to the point. Carlos, what about you? Did the first game you ever play influence you as a gamer?
In the sense that I'd be playing a Mario game 20 years later, probably. Probably more than 20 years. But just very little. It's like I had a phase where I played nothing but sports and shooters, multiplayer games and stuff like that. So, no, I wouldn't say it influenced. I mean, it definitely influenced me, but it's not something that sort of dictated a certain path of gaming that I took.
Yeah.
It was just more that it just got me into gaming more than anything, but that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, Chris says, he goes, I agree with Tony because we grow as gamers and we were in the time where the experience kept evolving with the tech. Yeah, every single generation, even almost every game kept bringing something new to the table, you know? So that's a good point. Anyway, Brian, go ahead.
With me, not really, because my first game, I think, was Super Mario Brothers 2 or 3. I can't remember which one. And it hasn't really affected me. It's just because, the game tastes now are nowhere near platformers. Like, I actually am not even that big of a fan of platformers these days. So I'd say no. I'd say it just helped me understand that gaming exists and also what else is out there. I'd say that the thing that did shape how a game has to be when I bought Borderlands 2. No, when I bought the first Borderlands based on a review, which is the last game I ever bought based on any review. Since then, I just buy games based on how much I want to play them, and that's it.
All right, Brett's making noise, so you go ahead, Ben. That's Brett's, hey, I'm getting ready to talk noise.
yeah, sorry. That was checking if I was muted. Okay, yeah, wow. I've been super influenced. I can tell you the first game I played for just about every system.
But what's the first one? Like the pop and cherry game?
First game I played, Legend of Zelda.
Oh, shit. That did influence you, didn't it?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah. And I didn't even know how to read at the time, so it was a painful process of just exploring, putting together environmental clues, and hashing my way through corpse drag after corpse drag until
probably,
I eventually got where I wanted.
Probably not as painful as Weapon Fragility, but move on.
Yeah, well, no, not being able to read when you're playing that game was tough. But I was influenced by a lot of the early games that I played. Even like a lot of those Nintendo games were really punishingly and crushingly difficult. And I even remember I had a discussion. I don't remember why this stuck with me, but I had a buddy look at me one time when he was watching me playing video games. And he's like, you know, I think I finally figured it out. Because I was always the guy who's like, man, have you seen the last level? I'm like, oh, God, the last level's hard. It's like, I think I finally figured it out. I'm like, what's that? He's like, you're not really good at video games. And I'm like, fuck you. He's like, no. I mean, you're not just like automatically good at games. You just beat your head into the wall relentlessly until eventually you make it through. I'm like, yeah, persistence, man. That's how you play these games. So that method of playing has definitely conditioned me as an adult. It's one of the reasons I like Dark Souls. It's one of the reasons I like the the challenge modes or the going to the fire realm in God of War. That's all I'm gonna say for those of you who haven't been there. I
haven't finished. My kid just turned into a prick, so I'm up to that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I want to throw his ass off the cliff. Like, I'm God. The god. I don't need this shit.
Yeah, no spoilers, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, that's what I'm up to.
Quickly, before we go to Adam, the truth says, my first game was Pong and Asteroids, and I never, ever want to play games with those graphics again. You know? All right, Adam, go ahead, man. Do you remember, maybe?
Yes, I do. Uh-oh. Chinatown Arcade. The Chinatown Arcade, if you remember this. My dad took me there, and there's two parts. I guess this can be counted as a game because it was a cabinet, and it was a chicken, a live chicken inside. And I had to play tic-tac-toe versus this thing. And yep. I'm like, what the hell is this? You had to put money in, and you had to pick sides, and you played tic-tac-toe against a chicken. And then after that, I walked in. I looked. I saw all these machines. And I'm like, what is this place? And then poof, my dad walked me over to Pac-Man, and that was it. Pac-Man was the first one I played. I played pinball games. There was a lot of pinball machines, but it wasn't a video game.
Now, would you say Pac-Man influenced you as a gamer?
I still play Pac-Man to this day, but it's not the only type of game. It definitely got me hooked into that idea of playing video games. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, this is amazing. You know, I need to play stuff like this all the time. And then that's when I got the Commodore, and then I got Pac-Man on it. I had a weird football game on it, and a boxing game, you know, Activision game, which is funny because that boxing game, and I don't think the football game, but the boxing game is in the new Call of Duty World War II. But yeah, and that was it. That's what really got me hooked. And after that, nice history.
All right, we'll move on here. This is a question from your friend, Adam Dana Abercrombie.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
All right, so she goes, what do you guys expect to see from the Square Enix Avengers game at E3 and the rumor it'll cross over with the Spider-Man PS4 game? Very interesting. So, yeah, Square Enix announced their press conference on Friday, I believe. And they didn't flat out say, but people are speculating that they're going to unveil the Avengers game that they announced last September. You know, I'm probably going to speak for a lot of us here. I can't get too excited over a licensed game, so I'm going to have to just wait and see with this one. I understand they got Square Enix. I understand they got Crystal Dynamics or Eidos, one of those two big name companies. But then again, you also had Activision doing Spider-Man games. So taking this with a heavy grain of salt. You
know? I think it's going to be a Telltale's type game. I don't know why. I have that feeling that it's going to be a Telltale's type game.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I'll wait and see because licensed games typically, nah. And then the whole thing, the rumor that there's going to be some crossover with the Spider-Man game, I really don't see that happening. Like a Square Enix and maybe they'll have the skin of Spider-Man in one of those games, but an actual real crossover, that's not going to happen. No fucking way that's going to happen. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you ever seen a company do anything like that? I haven't, you know?
No matter what company had the rights to do any of those things. Like, you didn't see Spider-Man in an X-Men game that Sega made. Yeah, you know?
Unless it was Spider-Man and the X-Men on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, like, okay, you know how like Sega had a Spider-Man game, and then they, you know, there was the X-Men game.
Yeah, you wouldn't see any crossover.
Even ones in the games that were like together. You know what I mean? Like made by the same company, there wasn't very much crossover.
Yeah, so that's not gonna happen.
It'd be a fun idea, but I doubt they're gonna go into any of that. There's so much that goes into that sort of licensing.
Yeah, but Manny, what do you think about the game itself?
I don't know. I don't know what to expect. And to be honest, I wasn't really interested in it.
To be honest, she had to bring this to my attention because I'm like, the thing is with me, when I hear about licensed games, it's like, you know, it's like in one ear, out the other. I don't care.
I mean, they showed you, they just showed some, yeah. Like,
Manny, say that again. You cut out.
Oh, they kind of just had this kind of cheesy trailer that I really didn't pay attention to. So, I mean, I knew there was a game coming, but I was just like not really that interested in what was going on. So,
God, Battle Royale, Spider-Man, stop it, Techno, stop it, man.
Yeah. from what I expect of it, I want to be surprised what it is, see what it is. I don't know what to expect from it. To be honest, it could just be like Final Fantasy with an Avengers skin on it,
or Tomb Raider, because it's, you know, Crystal Dynamics. So
no, I'm saying like it could just be like Final Fantasy, like with like four players that are. Oh yeah. You play one of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just cannot get excited over this. I'm so cynical when it comes to these things. Yeah. Whatever. Go ahead.
Like even having like so was it Sucker Punch doing Spider-Man? Right. It's Sucker Punch, right?
Sucker Punch. Yeah. No, it's Insomniac.
Insomnia.
Yo, man, you're trying to confuse me.
Sucker Punch.
Yeah, because they would have made more sense, right? Because they did Infamous. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, yeah, like, even that, like, you know, with that Spider-Man game, like, I still kind of hold it with a little bit of a grain of salt, even though I know that they have a pedigree of making really great games. I'm just like, there's that one portion of it just says, I don't know.
Yeah, and anyway, what do you guys say about this Avengers game? I think I kind of spoke for most of you. So,
yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to get any amount of hype over sort of, like you said, a licensed game, especially when we haven't seen anything. It's just an announcement. And I think a lot of, like, I think we'll make up our minds when we see, like, the first trailer or so. Like, we'll know after the first trailer what kind of direction they're gonna take.
Manny, I'm going to jump in before you go. I'll make up my mind when the game's actually released. I don't trust it, man. I'm sorry.
Or how about this one? Like, what if all this hype was just a mobile game?
Oh my God. Yes. Well, Chris,
we have done that shit.
Yeah, Chris says it might be a card battle game. Could you imagine?
What if it is just totally a penguin situation where they just like, you know, they just like, yeah, Avengers, and then it's like card battle game.
You know what? If it was a version of like Hearthstone, then yeah, maybe I'd be into it.
That you would have to really sell people on that one.
No, people, I mean, like those type of games. That probably sell really well. People
like those sorts of games, but when you come out saying, "Yes, we have an Avengers game coming," and it's a card game, no, that, I mean, everybody would fucking flip their shit off. It doesn't matter if the game has good control, or you know, good gaming aspects to it.
Yeah.
It's like that whole thing where like you know, if you know the guys are made The Witcher, right? They're like, yes, we have a new Witcher game coming, and then it comes out, Gwent.
Yeah, people like that. People were actually happy about that.
No, but they said it was Gwent. In other words, they didn't say push it out like it was a whole new Witcher game.
Yeah, no, there was no surprise. This we all know.
I got you. anyway, Brian, close us out, man. Fucking Avengers. What do you say about this?
Wait.
No, I want to hear Brian's thoughts, motherfucker. Then you get your turn.
We're answering. No, I didn't get my turn.
Wait, I want to hear Brian's thoughts because he's the big Avengers. How many times have you seen Infinity War?
So far, 3 times.
Yeah, see, that's why he overrides you. But you get your turn. Go ahead.
I'm very cautious right now because again, they have shown nothing yet, and I don't know about you guys, but I've not heard anything about it. So I'm kind of like, this could be anything and everything at the same time. So I'm just going to stay very quiet and then just wait. Best case is that it's going to be a game like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, like a isometric top-down game, which might be quite cool.
Ooh.
Worst case, it could be a battle royale game with Marvel characters.
They already have a battle royale game with a Marvel character.
That is true.
They have more of them, and maybe that's why Fortnite got Thanos inside. It's like, yeah, let's just like jump the gun a little bit.
Let's test the waters.
You know.
Yeah, it's up in the air, but I'm with Tony on this one. I'm just gonna wait until they show something.
Yo, Brian, quick question, and this is gonna be a yes or no answer, so it won't.
Have you seen Moonlight?
So it won't derail the conversation, and it's kind of off topic, but does it get better each time you watch it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You just notice lots of things, like the Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah, that's right.
There's one in there.
Yeah, we're not gonna get to that right now. Adam, go ahead.
What were we talking about?
Avengers, see, motherfucker.
What about that? Oh, what do I think they're gonna? It's gonna be a legit game. I mean, they can't. That would be cheesy, and they know it would be cheesy if you're like, "Oh, by the way, this is just coming to mobile because we know that's what you guys want." No, that's not happening. Yeah. no, it's not because we did that. I was gonna say Nintendo did that with the Mario. Everyone thought that. Well, Mario, whoever you call, they thought that that was gonna be a legit game on the phone, and then it turned out to be an endless runner.
Yeah, even though I think we all said it was going to be a bullshit game on the phone, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't get Brett's thought. Brett, what do you think about this possible the Avengers game that Square Enix is working on?
License game, don't care.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Next topic. Exactly. Okay, this one is not a question. It's just a kind of interesting statement from G Megaforce. It's kind of interesting. G Megaforce did not leave any questions. He's usually the first guy, but
is this going to be timestamped or
no? So don't worry about it. That's why I put it in purple in the show notes, you know?
It's purple.
Yeah, like Thanos, man. All right, okay. So he goes, what the fuck is a quadruple A new IP? And he laughs. Microsoft can't help putting bullshit marketing spin on anything they do. They should concentrate first on creating a new AAA IP that is good before they start making up bullshit terms like this. All the new IPs they've released this gen have either faded or have been turds. Whatever studio they are working on now won't have anything ready until 2021 at the earliest. And by that time, PlayStation 5 will be out. This entire gen for Microsoft has been a joke. Tell us how you really feel, bro. But he's right, though. He is 100% right.
What the hell is quadruple?
Microsoft actually said that the other day. They said we're working on a quadruple A new IP.
Is it a 500 million game that's going to take 10 years? And
yeah, and have like a TV show.
A quadruple A, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like they got more than one company working on the game, right?
No, you know what quadruple sounds like to me? Our amps go to 11. It's like, what the fuck is a quadruple A? No one's ever heard of that. You know? Okay, sure. Your amps go to 11, Microsoft. All right, moving on now. Okay, Carlos, get ready for the timestamps. Black Metal Gamer. So his first question is, a few days ago, a trailer for Bloodstained Curse of the Moon was released. It's coming out on May 24th for most platforms, and it's an 8-bit NES Castlevania-style game. What are your thoughts on this new little game, and does this reassure you that Ritual of the Night will be a good quality title? Manny, can me and you just jump in first, because we've actually played Ritual of the Night several times, and we don't need reassurance. No. The game's going to be good.
Yeah, you could have played. I mean, you guys could have played Bloodstained as well, because it was available on. Oh no, that was for backers. Sorry.
Yeah. And Chris, too, he played it. Chris is in the chat. He played it too.
Yeah, they did have a version of it on the floor on the E3 show floor, which was the boat level. And then they also had. I still have the one for from Steam that they sent over. So it's cool so far, and it definitely looks a lot nicer from the backer updates they've been sending us. So yeah, this update though this little game. It's funny how like people forgot about this thing, but yeah, it was one of the
stretch
the
goals. Addition.
Yeah, the stretch goals was to make a prequel game that was an 8-bit style prequel game to go in before, you know, to be released before the actual game.
Yeah. By the way, Chris goes, I am reassured. I know for damn sure this ain't no Mighty Number 9. Damn. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah,
By the way, I'm gonna play it again at this year's E3. It's like 3 years in a row I've been playing.
You're gonna play it again.
Come out with the game already, Iga. You know? But
well,
yeah.
No. But yeah. You know what? I'm glad that he's just taking his time.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, that's fine. But and I am glad he's actually is showing it every year. And my man always comes out with the whip. It's crazy. But yeah, I don't need any reassurance. The game is hype. And as for this 8-bit thing, I'm fucking there, man. It's fucking great. Let's go.
I'll tell you a fun E3 story with Ego, because which was actually cool. Like Microsoft actually reserved a couple of spots for them to showcase Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, and Ego was standing right next to the consoles, the consoles, looking at the way people played, and me and Chris took a photo with him.
Nice. So,
but the one thing is that you could definitely see that he was looking at the way people were actually playing the game.
Yeah, he was doing that too. By the way, I forgot the first time I took a photo of him, because I took a picture of him last year. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through my pictures of E3 from year before that. There's me and Ego. I'm like, completely forgot, so I'm probably gonna do that again this year. But you're right, he always, like, whenever you play a game, he's always in the room with you, and he's very attentive to the you know, how you actually play the game, you know.
Yeah,
it's cool, man. But the 8-bit joint, give me that shit, I'm fucking there, you know.
And yeah,
wait, hold on, May 24th, that's like, next week.
Ooh. Well, not next week, but the following week. Yeah
I want to review that shit. Anyway, what do you guys say, man?
Well, I'll have it before you.
Because I have backed it. Anyway, did you guys see this 8-bit trailer, and what do you think? Does anybody else care about this game besides me, Chris, and Manny?
I saw some gameplay of it. It looks like a Castlevania game.
Yeah, that's
it,
the whole point. Like, that's the whole point.
Essentially kind of like Castlevania 3, where you have... But instead of three characters being able to change between, you have four, you know, all the main, a lot of the main characters from the new Bloodstained game.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Brett, aren't you excited for this game too?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. I guess it is just us three then.
You don't like Igavania.
Yeah. I'm over the 8-bit thing for the most part. Like, it's fine, and it's cutesy, and like, you know, RPGs and very narrative games and things like that. But it's the platforming. I've played so many of those games in my life.
What about the full game, Ritual of the Night, the one that with the modern, like, you know, cartoon graphics.
Oh yeah, I'm all down for that. I've played so many of those games originally. I've played so many Metroidvania style games that I get that you're like, look, it's a clone and it's a throwback, but all I hear is like it's a carbon copy kind of the same thing that you've done over and over and over and over. I'm just kind of over it.
By the way, can I ask you this? Are you over it because of indie games? Because I know they kind of burned me out on those fucking games.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Like, Jesus, man.
When they came back, you're like, the nostalgia, the fun. Then after a while, you're like, Jesus Christ, you're all just modeling yourself after Metroidvania, which is just a mashup of two basically games that set the standard. Like, there's only so many different ways you can do this before it all starts to feel like a copying machine. It's burned me out.
This one I'm okay with because it's Igarashi and stuff. Black Metal Gamer says, Holy Diver is a dope-ass Famicom Van Eye clone. And it's also a great album by Dio.
Yes.
All right, man. We'll move on here since no one seems to care about this game.
I'm wondering when I get the code for it, I wonder if they'll allow me to
stream that motherfucker. It. You know? I'm fucking hyped. I can't wait. Okay, the next one. What gaming fads throughout history did you hate the most? This would be a fun one.
Gaming fads. In gaming or peripherals?
Anything.
Easy.
Motion controls?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion controls without the shadow of a doubt. Because it spawned the fucking Wii and it was successful. It made everyone else want to follow that shit.
Damn right.
It led to the fucking ruin of Xbox.
Oh, that's right. If you think about it, the Kinect was really the main thing that ruined the Xbox One. You know, let's just be real here.
If they didn't put that in the box, it wouldn't have been so damn high, the price. And maybe people would have bought it.
Yeah.
They would have focused a lot of the R&D on other shit other than they put a lot of fucking work on that Kinect sensor.
They're making money off that in other divisions, though.
Yeah, they are.
But I mean, I could care less, man. I'm into gaming.
Brian, we need to.
I couldn't care less. God damn it, Brian. Why do you have to be so English, man?
No, I caught that shit. I'm like, hold on. What do you mean? Could you
care less? Yeah, but the only reason you got it because Brian is the English police.
No, it's not. Me and Brian, that's how we became English police. The first thing that united me and Brian was the fact that we corrected people when they made this mistake.
You know? Let our powers combine.
How much less could you care, Carlos? How much less could you care? Anyway, I'm totally with you. Motion controls. And my second one is military first-person shooting games. Oh, my fucking God. I got tired of that shit last generation, you know?
What?
It was like every game was fucking that shit.
That's fine. Nah. Not every game. We don't have it on every system.
Every system. We need everything
more of it.
Fuck that. I'm glad that shit is done now, and it got replaced by Battle Royale games.
By the way, motion controls also killed Lionhead Studios.
Oh, Milo, what happened, son?
They never showed
Skittles
after that. Skittles.
That Fable game, the Kinect Fable game. Remember that one? Ooh. That was the one.
Also, I'm going to just prematurely say Battle Royale games. Just prematurely throw that in there right now, son. I'm already tired of that shit. You know?
For me, it's definitely a lot of the kind of first person shooter kind of craze. I feel like it's just like everybody felt like that was the way to go. So there's just kind of a lot of throwaway first person shooter sort of games, trying to be like Half-Life and a bunch of other ones, and also those really annoying like 90s like commercials that Sega and Nintendo used to make, where like you have the kids like it'd be edited like a music video. They'd be like, Sega, they were so crazy and manic. Like I hated those fucking things.
Sega,
and the last remnant of that one was that stupid one for Sega Saturn.
Yeah, I remember that. Can I also throw in the fad of early last gen games all looking like fucking mud? These disgusting color palettes, man. Remember when Uncharted came out and everybody was like, oh my God, this game has color.
Brown. Yeah, all the games were brown.
Yeah, they all look like shit, you know? All right, Brian, gaming fads that you hated.
I think everyone just agrees that motion controls were just ass.
Yes.
And yeah. they just ruined like a lot, like a lot of things. I mean, like the concept, it's like itself has good intentions, but it just was executed like really badly. Mm-hmm. Like Kinect has the potential to be like really good for certain games, not for all games. Like you can't just make a game based around the Kinect, especially when the like when the Kinect itself just didn't work. Same thing with the Wii when they had like patch up like the Wii Motion Plus thing like 2 years later. Like it's just no, it's just it was dumb. I guess apart from the obvious, which is motion controls, I'd have to go with season passes. Not season passes. Online pass.
Yeah, remember that? $10 to play online.
That was like one of the worst things that they had for so long. It's like, hey, you want to play the game that you bought like secondhand? Well, pay online. Pay a fee and pay it online. Like, really? Why? Like, it's so dumb. It was just really annoying.
It seems like it's been a long time since that was announced. Yeah, man, that was a horrible idea.
I got another one. And this is, I guess, maybe tied into motion games. The fucking Guitar Hero shit. Remember that? That bullshit.
Oh, I love that, though.
I hated that fucking game. I
have to come back. I love the Guitar Hero.
Fucking whack, man.
In the gaming scheme of things, it's a blimp in the radar, though.
No, but it was like big for like a good 2 or 3 years, you know? So I hated that. And I'm saying this as a musician. So I remember when I went into Best Buy, they had Guitar Hero. I'm like, oh, this is going to be crazy. I was, you know, really, I was in a band and everything. I was like, this is going to be crazy. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to play, Breaking the Law, right? I'm like, I know how to play this shit on guitar. I'm going to kill it in this fucking game. It was just so weird. I'm like, that's not how you play this fucking song. Fuck that whole craze, also, man.
So, like,
yeah, Rocksmith, that's really playing the guitar.
Yeah, Rocksmith is good because it actually teaches you how to play guitar. That shit is dope, but the Guitar Hero, Rock, you know, all that Rock Band.
Yo,
that
man, thing was, what about DJ Hero, man?
All that shit was trash, man. Get rid of
DJ
all
Hero
of
that. DJ Hero
made me better than Jazzy Jeff, man.
I'm glad that shit died a swift death. That thing died so fucking fast, you know? Anyway, Brett hated gaming trends. Fads.
There's not much to pick from after all you guys have gone through. I have to agree, motion controls, fuck that noise. I probably really drill down on military first-person shooters and the way they spawned a need for every single fucking game to be first-person for years.
And games tackling multiplayer in for no fucking reason. What did Dead Space 2 need multiplayer for? What did God of War need multiplayer for? You know?
The Last of Us.
They didn't need it. Come on. Yeah. So no. That's the thing. Those military games also made it so every game needed to have a multiplayer. Tomb Raider. Remember Tomb Raider had two? Come on, man. That was fucking bullshit.
You know it does. Still you does.
Know, you know
Assassin's what? Creed. Remember Assassin's Creed? That was kind of cool, though.
That was a good one. I'll give you that.
Didn't know who was the bad guy in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like, you know, you talk about like putting multiplayer, and like they don't put the multiplayer that really would have been cool. Like, how cool would it have been to play Last of Us and somebody was playing Ellie?
Yeah, co-op. Yep. Yeah,
kind of like the way, or like what the way
Resident. That was supposed to be the plan. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that, Manny. But that would make too much sense.
Too much sense.
Yeah. By the way, Shinati says. He hated the fad of angry reviewers on YouTube. Remember that? It was a
fun fad. This the last remnants are still there.
Yeah, they're still out there. Happening, man. Yeah, Adam, what about you, man? Gaming fads you hated?
Fucking the air traffic controls for PS4. What the fuck with the lights and the little knobs and again, it's the move control. All that shit. I didn't like any of that stuff.
No.
You know, I didn't see the big deal. Like I had my Kinect, but I used it just to say, you know. Bleep, record that. I don't want to say it just in case somebody has that shit connected because it will do it. But that was it. That was the coolest feature on it. But I didn't use it for like the hand gesture and all that shit. It just never worked right.
I'm going to be an asshole right now. If somebody's watching us on Xbox with Kinect. Xbox off.
Oh, you are wrong, man. Turn it off.
I used to do that to my
We just lost a shitload of fans.
Yeah, we lost two guys watching us on Xbox. All right. all right. Next up, this is a new name. Very interesting name. Spacey's Semen Crested Kimono. Kevin Spacey, by the way, he even has a little avatar. But he is asking serious questions. Okay. Hypothetically, his first question, hypothetically, if EA made a Def Jam 2 Vendetta 2 game, what rappers and rockers slash metal artists would you like to see in there? Would it, and also the follow-up, would it be a wrestling game or a brawler? Very interesting.
Well, the thing is, if it's Def Jam,
no rock people in there except, yeah. Except for Slayer. Wasn't except Slayer, for Slayer. They were,
Slayer was on Def Jam. So yeah, the only rock band that you would probably see in there would probably be Slayer.
Yeah, because well, I mean, what it has to be Def Jam artists, you know?
Yeah, because then we can't just mention any rappers.
No. It has to be Def Jam.
Yeah, whatever. Specifically. Well,
when they did Vendetta 1, remember Def Jam, that 1? It was mm-hmm. called 1. Icon. It had rappers that were not part of Def Jam.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that the one with Snoop Dogg in it?
That came out on Xbox. That one had like Sean Paul and Paul Wall and
Sean Paul.
All these people.
I think, you know what? Just to keep it to the spirit of it, because Def Jam, let's just be honest, it's a rap label. What rappers would you want in this, you know?
Now, forget that. I want a whole, like, just a whole music one. Think about it. You can get, like, Demo Boy Girl, and then you can get, your Kid Rock and all these characters. Just have the add-on after add-on after add-on. Eminem in there. Throw everybody in it. I think that'd be fun.
The Insane Clown Posse would be the tag team.
I mean, that'd be fun.
I guess we're going to do that. Any artist from any genre, then?
Any artist from
Yeah,
that's it. Music Royal Rumble or something like that. Some weird.
So
shit.
It won't be Def Jam Vendetta 2 then.
No. I wish that studio would have came out with another one, but the Icon was horrible.
Tupac and Biggie.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
Yeah, they weren't in that game.
No, they weren't.
Well, you can have them. There's a new one if it's just.
I mean, all of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, the whole of them, all 36 chambers, man.
All 56 chambers of Wu-Tang got ones, even the ones that... 36 chambers of Wu-Tang Clan, and the guys that just kind of appear on the side, you know.
Oh, Adam, I got one for you, man.
I went to 36 chambers. Yeah, by the way, since interview Ghostface and Capadon.
Oh, shit. By the way, since we're adding rock artists in there, all a Slipknot. It's nine motherfuckers.
But you know what? The one thing about having like big groups like that, like especially with Slipknot, you have like two clone guys. Like you have two like dancing guys. So what do they do?
can we put Kanye in?
Sure.
You can put Kanye in there.
Hey, I just want to see him get punched in the face so bad.
Yeah, he's a free thinker, you know.
He's a free thinker now, apparently.
I want him to be in the game and just be the objectively worst fighter in the game. So every time he's on screen, he's getting his ass whooped.
Well, he doesn't throw punches. He talks. He rambles.
No, you know, he'd be like the Dan of the game.
Yeah, he'd be the stupid character. Yeah.
He'd be the one that would constantly like, you know, like he'll jump into a match, be like, hold up. You know,
like I'm gonna let y'all finish. I just want to say that Mortal Kombat is one of the greatest fighting games of all times.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It'd be an EA game, so it'd be like UFC is the greatest game of all time.
Here we go. Techno Fabulous, I was gonna say this. You took it right out of my head. Chris Brown DLC. Let him get fucked up. And you know what? Throw Rihanna in there so she can beat the shit out of him. You know, payback, motherfucker.
Who was it? Oh, there was somebody else. It was who's the one? Oh, the other big rapper that's from Canada right now, Drake. Drake came out because I remember at South Street Seaport, he was supposed to perform and he didn't perform. People were rioting, and it's because he was crying in the back because Rihanna said some fucked up shit and broke up with him because he started dating her. And then he came out and said, yeah, I can see why Chris Brown did what he did.
Ooh, yeah. Damn, son.
Man, I never liked Drake.
Who'd have thought that Drake being Canadian would say something like that?
Yeah, right? By the way, X-Skull says Kanye's woke. Yo, Kanye's so woke, he's never going to go to sleep again, son.
Yeah.
Hey, man, here you go. Danzig was apparently in Def Jam. Okay, so there you go.
Was he in Def Jam?
I don't remember. I think he was on the record label. I think he was on the record label.
Oh.
So there you go, mother.
For comedy, you want to throw in Aerosmith?
Beastie Boys, that's right. Beastie Boys were in there, too.
Yeah, Beastie Boys were on there, too.
That's right.
So, yeah, you could theoretically take the original Def Jam you know, people and put them on there. Hey, I'd put past.
No, you got to put the original guys. You know, the No Sleep Till Brooklyn guys. You know,
yeah. I don't want to put the weird like Buddhist versions of them that want to change the lyrics of their songs.
Yeah, no, I don't want those guys. Yeah, you didn't know about that? We're not going to get into that right now. But yeah, they want to change the lyrics of their songs because they feel they've grown as people or
they've
whatever.
They've grown artists or whatever. Anyway,
and they said that years ago, like 10 years ago, they said that shit.
10 years ago. I would put MF Doom in there.
Damn right. MF Doom.
I put MF Doom in there. I put a Dr. Octagon.
Just, there you go. Cool Keith.
Cool Keith.
Right, Chief Black Elvis.
Yeah. What about what happened?
The other funky hoping CPM.
Yeah. What about the type of game? Well, yeah, what about the type of game? I say keep it whatever. Wasn't it just a regular fighting game before?
It was the grappling system. The
wrestling, from
No Mercy.
Okay, so yeah, just keep that, you know?
That was a damn good engine. I wish they whatever happened to that company.
Just don't know. But like I said, they started focusing on the icon. They put a lot of money into that and with the names and the rights, and then that bombed and they just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Vanilla Ice and the Ninja Turtles got to be in this game.
That's right, Ninja.
Go Ninja, go rap. Ninja, go, go, go Ninja, go. Go, go.
So let's see, you throw a bunch of goofy rappers in there. You put like MC Hammer.
MC
and, like,
Hammer, let's go, man.
Techno says Marky Mark and the Funky Punch. Yes.
put Snow in there. Informa.
Yo, how about they just have a character create and you can just make your own
fucking Humpty Dump, remember, you have him in there.
Humpty Dance, yeah, Humpty.
There's your chance to do the Humpty.
So does that mean does that mean that there'll be two versions of Tupac in the game?
Yes,
yeah, because be in the background of that level dancing.
Yes.
yeah, there'll be that version of Tupac who's part of his
crew. I'm shutting this whole thing down right now. Adam, Manny, the Fat Boys, man. Get them in there. Oh, yeah. Remember those?
Fat Boys. Shit, House of Pain.
House of Pain, son.
House of Pain.
I think Cypress Hill was already in there.
Yeah, Cypress Hill, you get them in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need Mexicans there.
You know,
fun.
All right, cool, man. Let's move on here. His second question. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, I say put in J. Cole and Kendrick so that we can finally have a J. Cole versus Kendrick, and all the fanboys can just cry over that. Also have Jay Z and Solange in there so that they can have.
Ice-T. Yeah, you got to have him in there, man.
We got to have both Ices.
I got to have Ice-T and Ice Cube. Yep, you got to have both of them in there.
LL Cool J,
you know.
Yep. The ice off.
You got to get Run DMC in there.
Yeah, by the way, Brian, thank you for contributing artists beyond the year 2000. Because, you know, we're just talking old shit, 80s guys, man. The Ghetto Boys, oh my God.
Dude, I was about to say, with mainstream Heavy music D? Being the way that it is, like, it would be a roster of people we've never heard of and like be like, is Lady Gaga doing in this game?
Yeah. Yeah. I
Lady Gaga. Oh, no, I'm not even going to say anything.
Yo, it all says Ice Tray. Hey, man, fear of a black hat, son.
Yeah, you literally put NWP in there.
NWP, that's right, man. NWH. NWH.
NWH, yeah, NWH, excuse me.
NWH. Three Ice T's actor, rapper, and body count. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Ice T have three versions of him.
Shit, LL Cool J.
The NWA version? Yeah. I don't mean Ice Cube.
Ice T, the actor, the rapper, and body count. Body count in a house.
And body count.
Yeah, man. I heard that shit is good.
And the kangaroo from Tank Girl.
CB4. Yo.
Did you walk up Chris Rock hologram costume?
Chris Rock? Wait, which one? The hologram?
I said, does Tupac have a special hologram costume?
Yes.
Oh.
That shit is funny, man. All right, let's move on here.
Too soon? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yo, man, Tupac's still alive, man. What are you talking about?
He got like 20 more albums. They're waiting to be released, you know?
All right. Okay, so kind of an interesting question. What are some quote-unquote bad game developers that make you question why they are still making games? Can I say the obvious?
Oh, let me try to guess it.
Does it start with a B and end with a Fezda?
No.
Oh, no. Does it start with a K and end with a Nami?
There you go. Go back to, I'm sorry, Konami, man. Just make your pachinko, son. Stop making games, man. I'm sorry. That's all I'm saying. Because I'm not trying to get in trouble. Go ahead.
Let's see. Who would I say they're still making games that are?
Come on. Made Life of the Black Tiger.
Oh shit, get them to stop making games. Yo, by the way, these guys in the chat are still giving out names. This is hilarious. Chub Rock and Bismarck. Africa man. Bambata. You guys are
his. De La Soul, Black Rob.
De La Soul.
Let's just keep answering that question.
Lords of the New School.
Yeah. Okay, let's just move on.
Big Fun, RIP.
Yo, fuck it. I'm jumping right. Brett, what are some developers that you think need to get the fuck out of the game?
I'm tempted to say BioWare if Anthem is as fucked up as I'm afraid it's going to be.
Hey, man, I'm with you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think a lot of us are holding our breaths with BioWare right now.
Yeah, not just holding my breath, but being like, all right, I'm not expecting much. Y'all motherfuckers better surprise me. Otherwise, just take it out to pasture. We're done here.
shoot them in the back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Other than someone like, there's some just like who consistently makes bad games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know,
No,
because the thing is, you know, and I just to you know for the sake of fairness, no developer tries to make a bad game. You know, it's just no, shit happens.
It just happens.
I mean, like unless it's one of those kind of cheesy companies that continues to release shovelware.
You mean like mobile game developers? But
yeah.
that's too easy of a target, so we're not going to talk about them.
Well, what's I don't even know because they don't necessarily make bad games, but and we talk about them all the time. Fucking Telltale.
With their
bad engine, man. It's like
they change it though. They need to revamp the entire engine, but the Batman series they really evolved in that one. That was pretty good.
Batman was good. It was still just as fucked up as all their other games, buggy wise.
But they changed things up, you know, when it comes to the gameplay. It's not the same old shit.
But it's still buggy. The engine is still buggy, though. The game still crashes and all that.
Team, they need some time
Hold on. The truth. Oh, my God. And this goes back to something we talked about before. Okay, this is his question. You guys already know the answer. Who made Drawn to Death?
Oh.
Does David Jaffe need
David Jaffe.
We've had this conversation before.
Calling all cars.
I don't know if I want to answer this, but should David Jaffe call it a day?
He's got a new one coming out. A new game coming.
Yeah, it just came out, Drawn to Death, and it.
No, a new one that he's going to show off at E3.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
We'll see.
Damn. The truth just fucked me up right now.
But
who's cooking right now? Son, I hear some frying.
You got the crock pot going.
Brett.
It was Brett. These motherfuckers cooking and shit.
He got idle hands. He needed to do some dishes.
Yeah. Oh,
man, it's just like.
My bad. Sorry. Got my mute toggle mixed up.
It's like Twisted Metal. You know what I mean? It's like it always makes me think. It's like, was it a one-hit wonder type of thing? Or was it really that good?
Well, he's a two-hit wonder, you know?
Yeah. He's the Rob Liefeld of video games.
Oh, no.
I don't know about that. That's kind of brutal.
So. Oh, come on. Like,
God of War and Twisted Metal were not fucking flukes.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying they were. I'm saying, like, Rob Liefeld wasn't a fluke either. It was just, it was kind of an extreme environment where they're like, you know, everything's extreme. Everything's giant, bulked up, and super aggressive. And that climate was where they made their fame, and things have shifted a little bit more towards serious, nuanced storytelling. And for the most part, they're still under in the like, check out how many neck muscles this guy has.
Drawn to Death?
Well, no, not Drawn to Death.
You know, Calling All Cars.
Calling All Cars.
His approach to video games just seems
antiquated?
not in line with the market these days.
Production video game questions. Don't ask this shit like that, man.
Here's the thing. Like drawn to death was essentially trying to be what was on the market, though. You know?
Yeah. That is true, like a shooting game, you know.
It was one of those character shit.
I'm just saying, like he's just having trouble hitting on the head, like maybe I'm throwing y'all off with the Rob Liefeld thing, because like there was a time and a place where Rob Liefeld was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think we were all just mistaken about that. But the market changed and he didn't really pivot well with it. He tried to do a bunch of different stuff, and none of it really hitched the way that his first thing did.
Is David Jaffe in between him and M. Night Shyamalan, or where is
he? No, because M. Night Shyamalan was always a hack. We just, it took us a little while to figure it out.
Hey, Brett, just for the record, I knew he was a hack since day one. Just throwing that out there. I always said he was a fucking hack. Anyway, jump in here, guys. Game developers, I need to call it a day.
Oh, developers.
Does Sid Meier's count as a developer?
Yes. Ooh. Sid Meier's? Anyway, we're talking. Brian, go first.
Rare. I'm sorry, but I think Rare have just, like, they have outstayed their welcome, and they don't make good games anymore.
You shut your whore mouth.
Yeah. I know.
Damn, Brian is.
Come on. Hold like, on. Hold on. They've been trying. They've been pushed around. They've been trying. Like, nothing's really hit yet.
What do you mean? What do you mean they were trying? They were just making avatars for the last 10 years.
No, they. Kinect games. They've been trying to make something good, but they've just been like, no.
What other games did they make?
They made Kinect games. They made Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, which was a flop. And CFD's.
You know, I feel like the thing about Rare is that none of the people that made those games that everybody like are even there anymore.
Oh no, definitely not.
No, you're right. But Manny, let's just look at it. Rare. I think Brian's right. I think they need to call it a day.
Mm-hmm. And I have another one, which people are going to agree with me so much, it's going to be funny. Cliff Bleszinski. He just needs to fuck off. He needs to stop making games now, because he just needs to just stop. Like, yeah. This whole, like...
back on this one.
Like, what's that Battle Royale game that I made, like the Radical Heights game? Lawbreakers.
Radical Heights. Battle Royale, I forgot the name.
Yeah. The game, yeah, I think it had like an 84% drop off after a week or something like that.
Who is surprised about that? Like, they even came out and said that they put it together in like 6 months. It's like, it's a clear rush job to make money, and that's all it was. So, yeah, just need to stop. Yeah, sorry, Cliff, but you had your one hit, which was Gears of War, and that's it. Like, I say he's worse than David Jaffe.
Oh no, he had Unreal Tournament. Wasn't he part of Unreal
Tournament?
Yeah, he
was Unreal Tournament. Yeah, yeah.
That's the whole thing with Gears. It's the characters of Unreal.
Some part was. Fun fact, Digital Extremes also worked on Unreal Tournament, the first one. So the same guys that made Warframe.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Clifford B just needs to stop. He's not good anymore.
Oh, man.
He's not relevant anymore. Like the whole like 90s Edge thing. No. You know what I mean.
The 90s Edge thing. Big boots and big muscles.
Yeah. You mean the extreme era? Oh my god. Alright, man, let's move on here. All day digital, man. So his first question is, do you guys think E3 will go away anytime soon due to most companies doing their own thing and doing their own events? We've talked about this before. E3 is not going to go away, but E3 is not relevant like it used to be. Let's just be honest.
No.
It's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. This is going to sound weird, but just hear me out. In the past, like Gamescom, Tokyo Game Show, they were the E3 of those respective countries, right? Now E3 is the Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show of America. It's kind of crazy. Who the fuck is coughing? Fucking up that's my flow here.
No, that's not me.
It came from your background.
Who's coughing back there?
No, that's my friend.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Fucking up from my end.
Okay, so I need to repeat that again because I think it's like
basically. No, I got it.
What do you think about that analogy? I think like E3 is now trying to be like others. They're no longer the leading guys anymore. I think they still have that prestige because of the name and longevity or whatever. Yeah, but they're not doing anything special anymore. They're no really not.
Hashtag wait for E3.
You know.
I definitely think that E3 is just kind of trying to change itself to kind of be more like what's out there, because you know it's that nowadays you have that sort of exclusivity, you know, but nobody really cares for that anymore, you know what I mean?
Well, is Sony gonna have a press conference, like a physical press conference this year?
Yeah
they are. It's just gonna be different though. It looks like, can't confirm this, it looks like it may be taking inspiration from PlayStation Experience, which is not a good thing from what I heard. People didn't like that. You know?
Wow.
Man.
Like, they're mainly going to focus on four big games, and then, you know, the rest is going to be filled up with, like, some third parties or whatever. But each of those games, I off the top of my head, correct me if I miss anything. Death Stranding, Spider-Man, Last of Us 2, and there's another one they're going to
focus on.
Ghost of Tsushima, yeah. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, by the way. So they're going to, I think they're going to give 10 minutes each to each of those games, and then the rest is going to be filled out by Thursday. So they're going to change up the thing. But yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to ask you guys or tell you guys, whatever. Basically, think about this. Let's say E3 didn't exist, right? All those announcements that would happen at E3 could still be done by each of those respective companies.
Yeah, yeah. They had their own shows like they do. You know, now they're not, a lot of them are making their thing. Yeah. E3 doesn't need to be the stage, is not really the stage anymore.
It isn't.
I disagree.
Okay, why is that?
If you took away E3, something would develop to take its place. Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is that you're kind of proving what we're saying. It's like, it's not the stage anymore. Something easily can take that
easily.
Place. No, there is. There, no, it's... It, but it's not about E3. It's that there needs to be a centralized video game conference once a year where people who aren't these giant studios have a chance to showcase their game, because getting together and having a convention like that draws press attention that you wouldn't get just trying to
launch. Hold on, Brett. I'm sorry. I need to cut you off. So, but E3 isn't the only giant gaming press event in the year. There's a bunch of them.
And that's what I'm saying. So there's always going to be one at the top. It's the World of Warcraft scenario. So if you took away E3, something would just take its place and everybody would flock to make their little nonsense there, and that would become the official video game conference that everybody looks forward to during the year. Whether it's not, it's called E3, there will always be something that is E3.
But Brett, I don't think you heard what I said before. I said that E3 is basically America's version of Gamescom or America's version of Tokyo Game Show. Like, yeah, obviously something would take its place because America needs its own game show, but I'm saying that E3 is now no more relevant than those other ones from other countries. That's what I'm trying to say. Understand?
No, and I agree with that, but, you know, when we're talking about, like, you know, when I hear, you know, could E3 disappear, like, whether or not it's called E3 is irrelevant to me. It's going to be the same beast. If you cut the head off that, it's just a new one is going to rise to take its place and be the exact same thing. Same thing goes with Comic-Con, same thing with Gamescom. There's going to be
completely and utterly disagree. So Comic-Con, for example, ceases to exist, then for example, Disney is just going to do their shit in their own, like, little thing, and whoever else, Warner Brothers is going to do their own shit in other things. I don't think there's going to be something that's going to replace Comic-Con. Why would they do that? Because they're already starting to do that. Like, D23 is kind of what, like, a lot of the stuff that Comic-Con used to show up, they do it at D23, and they have the Star Wars celebration as well. Like, they have all these events.
Comic-Con is so overbooked and overfilled, like, it's tough to get in there, and that's just the natural spillover.
For Disney, though, you think Disney can't get a slot for all these things?
Though I'm sure they can, but the question is it worth it?
No, exactly. It's better to have their own shit because they get their own, like, little convention, like one convention here, one convention here, and they make more money.
This sounds like the argument loop that I often got into people when they were talking about, you know, anarchy. And they're like, yeah, if you just did away with the government and a whole bunch of people, you know, I got this in this argument with punk rockers. If you just did away with a centralized government, let people be free, like, you could have anarchy. But like, no, because people would drift back towards tribalism, which would then drift back towards a centralized form of agreement of rules, which would be proto-laws, and we would eventually just drift back towards the exact same
thing. But no one's saying that you can't have a big gaming event. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about E3 specifically. I'm saying that E3's relevance isn't needed anymore, because back in the day, right, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have any of that shit, and we needed one spot where game journalists could come together to disseminate information to all of us. Now we don't need that shit anymore, because you have gaming companies could throw that out there, you have your YouTubers, like, you know, giving their reactions or whatever.
Here's my thing, like, okay, so yeah, I as a game developer, unless I'm fucking Sony, like want to get the word out for my game. I can just release the information on the internet, sure.
Or have a PlayStation experience.
What's that?
Or have a PlayStation experience.
Yeah, but if I'm not PlayStation, if I'm not of that giant, the big caliber, if I'm not one of those five games that makes it to that stage, then it's going to be much harder for me to showcase my product unless I'm bathing in the ambient limelight of all the other big things going to be there. That's my big point.
I understand what you're saying, but let's just be honest. Unless you're the big guys, no one gives a fuck about you at E3. Let's just be honest here. You know, if you're an indie game, no one gives a fuck. You know, let's just be real here.
Not even indie games, not the big giant AAA titles. I mean, yeah, like, you know, Wildstar, for instance, got a lot of attention at like Comic Cons and E3s. And granted, that didn't turn out to be a great game, but it wasn't of the caliber that it was getting a lot of attention otherwise. And so it kind of got it from there. And what I'm saying is, even if you got rid of, you know, even every single one of these, all that would happen would be you'd have people get together. They'd eventually create a convention. That convention would be drawing huge amounts of fans of whatever X hobby it is, or what, you know, whether it be gaming or board games or fucking Valentine's knows. I don't give a shit. And eventually enough of these people are going to come together that the people who sell said product are going to notice, hey, tens of thousands of fans of people who buy our product are glomming together on this one day a year in this one place. It would probably be beneficial for us to increase that hype and release some information there and some information around that time and really just build that hype train. Give out some fucking tchotchkes to some motherfuckers who want to come up, make a presence at this show that is about people loving the products that we put out, because it would be kind of a dick move not to. And in the end, you have exactly what we're dealing with now, where you have a convention where sometimes if they feel like it, they show up because they're kind of quasi beholden to their fans. But unless there's a huge amount of money, that's not really worth the investment.
Yeah. Press, but again, we're not arguing that there's not going to be something to fill the void. I'm just saying E3 is not relevant or as important as it used to be. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Carlos.
So would you say that PAX, let's say PAX West, is bigger than E3?
I don't think so.
So because, like, for example, as a gaming convention, just locally, it's way bigger than E3. I mean, I would guess. So it's like Comic-Con and stuff like that. So, like, if E3 disbanded, they just go their different ways. There's not something that's going to, like, hold them up together. Because, like, think about it. Rockstar is not...
PAX is known as the big gaming convention because E3 is too overcrowded. It's become known as... It's become a victim of LineCon, where you go there and there are so many people there that you can't really get into anything. And the booth prices are so high that companies kind of back out. And so what happens is all this drifts towards the second tier conventions, which are both of the PAX conventions.
Where but three PAXes, by the way. Three PAXes every year.
Hold on, I'm not done. Yeah. Where it's a little easier to get booth space, so you have more vendors, and the lines are shorter, so you actually have a chance to play something, and those become the fan crowd favorites. But there is still the big E3. And if you took away E3, PAX would become that uber convention.
But E3 wasn't open to the public for a lot of years.
Yeah, it just became open to the public last year.
Well, I'm speaking of PAX versus Comic-Con, because PAX was the replacement Comic-Con for if you couldn't get into San Diego Comic-Con.
No, it was the gaming convention.
Yeah, it was done strictly for gaming because there was nothing like to the level of PAX. Like before, it was E3 was the closest thing, but E3 stopped going, like, doing things for the public. So they did PAX to fill that void. So they did their own shit. So that's why E3 is not as big as it used to be, because it doesn't have that many people that flock there, because it's not the only game in town anymore. So, like, you have all these other things. Like, Rockstar is not part of E3 anymore. Nintendo is not part of E3 anymore. They do their little
Microsoft is not part of E3 anymore.
EA is not part of it, you know, because they don't need to be there. They could get their message out, you know, and they're doing their own thing. That's what I'm saying. E3 is not that relevant anymore, you know?
Like, everyone's going to be in town anyway, so.
But I'm not saying it has to be E3. That's been my whole point.
What is it? Well, then if it's not E3 right now, then what is it?
I don't understand your question.
You said it doesn't have to be E3, but
E3 is the king gaming convention right now.
In America.
In America, yes. And if it wasn't E3, then some other convention would be the King Gaming Convention.
Yeah, but again, we're not arguing that. I agree with you. Something would fill the void. But even that, whatever would fill the void would still not be as relevant now in the age of social media where companies could just release a fucking trailer, you know, and be done with it.
It wouldn't be to the same relevancy to E3 when it was at the top of its game.
Yeah, that is also true.
Nothing will ever get that anymore. Because back in the day, that's the only avenue for all the outlets. That's what everyone, that's the only thing, the only game in town with all the companies going there. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that made E3 big was because it was the only game in town. Now it isn't. There's like a million other conventions happening that do the same shit, you know? So that's all I'm saying. So I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. It's probably not going to go away at all. E3 is going to stick around. It's just different. Now it's open to the public. Like I said, E3 used to be the thing. Now it's copying everybody else, you know? What's going on, Nerdy Nick, with your drunk ass? all right. And the last question here. This is a funny one. For Tony Tries, what will you not try? I request Nintendo Labo. No. Nintendo's Labo is not even a fucking game. Okay, so ground rules for... We're calling it Throwdown Tries, by the way. That's the renamed version of it. Basically, the ground rule is the games either have to be free to play or people buy them for us because we ain't buying no bullshit games, you know? Let's, you just get that out there. But Labo is not even a video game. It's a fucking cardboard shit. You want us to do DIY stuff on stream? That's stupid, you know? We're a gaming podcast, bro.
We're not tested.
You know, so yeah, I hope that answers the question. So yeah, Throwdown Tries, games that are free to play and games that you buy for us or people give to us or whatever, because we ain't paying for no bullshit.
Does that mean that you're going to be playing Conan Exiles?
If a lot of people request it, sure. But the next one, because this leads to the segue, PUBG. Oh, God. Probably Tuesday. See, that seems to be a good day. Probably the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern. That seemed to work out pretty well. So me, Carlos, hopefully Brett will be there too, and we'll all suffer for you guys. Oh, God damn.
Did we get 3 copies of PUBG bought?
No, PUBG is free. It's free. Free to play, man.
Get it. Yeah, get it on a PC.
Yeah, Nerdy Nick. Yeah, we'll have you on one day, brother. Don't worry about it, man. Yo, you don't drink too much, man. You're too muscly, man. You'll kill somebody, man. You know, imagine a big muscly dude all drunk. That's not good, man. Probably fuck everybody up. I'm also YouTubing it. That's great, Nick. Nick, fucking drunk. All right, man. So let's wrap this motherfucker up. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on the Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. So I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And also, for Riku, thank you for showing up in his third playthrough of playing through Final Fantasy VII. I've just been, kind of hanging out and waiting in the wings and keeping an eye on the chat. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll be back next week doing the same old thing.
Carlos Romero.
4 playthroughs.
4 playthroughs? Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Brett Murdoch.
It's the real party, people.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
And Brian Manjoma.
Yeah, shout out to Ricky, man. I've heard about what happened to him and his family member, so I'd like to say I'm sorry to hear about that. But at the same time, thanks for doing the streams. You are quite funny to watch, I have to admit that. And yeah.
All right, good stuff, man. So we'll see you on Thursday, and we'll see you on Tuesday for another Throwdown Try. See us suffer, and then we'll come back on Thursday for another one, man. Peace out.
Later, guys.
Later.
See you, everybody.